Daf today's at 3 o'clock. Okay, daf today for tomorrow's daf is at 3 o'clock. Same login. Okay, so we are on the Mishnah on daf Samva Gimel, continuing our discussions of what one is permitted or not permitted to go out with on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim when there's no Erev. So the Mishnah says, Lo yetzei ish lo b'sayif lo b'keshes lo b'tris lo b'alev lo b'romach. A man may not go out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with a sayif, which is a sword, a keshes, which is a bow, a tris, which is a shield, an Allah, which we'll define in the Gemara, or with a romach, which is a spear. The Tanakhama says, im yotza, and if he does go out with any of these, then he's going to be chayiv achatas. Which means chayiv achatas, because I guess these are not considered to be any clothing, right? They're not considered to be clothing, or they're not considered to be tachshit. So therefore, they're just considered a masor, they're burning, and he may not go out with them. Rabbi Lezer, Omer Lezer says, no, tachshitin heim lo. These are considered tachshitim. I guess they're ornaments. I guess they have something that enhance his to beautify his appearance. But Chachamim say back to him, Einan eleganai. They say back, you can't. They're disgusting, these things, because Shenemar, the pasuk says in Asid Lavo in the future, it says V'kisesu charvo som liitim v'chaniso seyin l'mazmeros lo yisagoy algoy charev lo yimadu al milchama. It's that they're going to beat their swords at the plowshares and their spears into the pruning cutters. You know, one nation is not going to lift up a sword against another nation, and they should no longer learn anymore. Meaning that in Asi Lovo, in the future, these things are going to be, obviously these are things that are going to go away during the times of Asi Lovo. They're not something that are adornments. They're not ornamental. They're something that we shouldn't be proud of. Right? The Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Lezer gives an answer. So then the Gemara says, Biris tehora v'yotzim hem b'shabbos. A beris, which we'll translate now as meaning as a garter. So it's tahor, meaning it cannot accept tumah, it cannot be kabbal tumah, it's not considered a kli, and one is permitted to wear one out on Shabbos. Kivalim tmeim, but kivalim, which I guess is like cables or chains, ein yotzem b'Shabbos. They're tmeim, they can be makabal tumah, but the ein yotzem b'Shabbos, but they cannot go out with them on Shabbos. So the beris, which is a garter, is not considered a kli to the fact that it can become tame. However, it is considered clothing enough that one can go out with it on Shabbos. And the kivalim are the opposite. They're a kli that can be worn, that can be susceptible to tumah, but they are not considered clothing enough for you to be able to go out with them on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, my Allah, what is an Allah? The Gemara answers, it's a kulfa. It's a kufa, I don't know what it means. It's sort of club or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. It's some sort of club. Yes, I used to walk around with good morning. Okay. Rabbi Lezer Omer Tachshitin Heinlo. Rabbi Lezer said that these things are ornamental. They're jewelry for him, all these weapons of war. So Gemara says, Tanya, Omer lo Rabbi Lezer, was told to Bryce that the Chum said to Rabbi Lezer, Kimiachar she Tachshitim Heinlo, if these are Tachshitim, if they're ornamental, so why are they going to become butto? They're going to become null and void in the times of Mashiach. So, right, because they, right, Amar Lehem, the fish ain't on Srichin. Rabbi Lezer said, the reason why they're going to be kapatal in Asi Lavo, because in the future they won't need them. Right now they are needed, but in the future they're not needed. That's why it says, Shenemar lo yisagoy al gocharev, because in the future one nation is not going to lift up the sword against another nation. So in the future they're not going to be needed. Right now they are ornamental, because we're not in that time period yet where there is no, and there still is a need for these things. So the Gemara says, Vitahave linoi ba'alma. Let these just be worn as even if they're not in the future, even if they're not going to be needed for war. Well, if they're ornamental, let them be ornamental then also, and then you can be able to wear them in the future. So when it says Amar Abaye, mita dahave ashraga p'tihara, it's useless in the future. They'll be absolutely useless. It's similar to using a lamp in broad daylight, using a flashlight in broad daylight. It's useless. Upliga de Shmuel, and our Brisa is going to disagree with Shmuel. Our Brisa, based on the Pasuk, says that weapons are going to become obsolete in the times of Mashiach. That argues with Shmuel, who he's going to hold that weapons are still going to be needed in the times of Mashiach. Upliga to Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel says, Ein bein olam ha'aba hazeh limos ha'mashiach. There's no distinction between, Ein bein olam hazeh. There's no distinction between this world, olam hazeh, and limos ha'mashiach. Except that we won't be subject to exile. Rotosus points out right away. Ein Bein can't be literally because there's much lot more difference because there'll be Beis Hamikdash, there'll be Korbanos. So Ein Bein is not literal. It's whatever. It's not going to be as different as people expected. So according to Shmuel, right, it's not going to be that much of a difference. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz. The poor person will still be lo yechdal, won't end. The poor person will not end from the middle of our land. There'll still be poor people. And misayle le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. On the other hand, our brisa, which says that the pasuk in Shayo that says lo yisagoya gol charev, means that it talks about says that there will be no war. That supports Rabbi Chiya. Then Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says kol neviim lo nesnabu eli Moshe Mashiach. He said all the neviim they only made their nevuah about Yemos Mashiach. Avala olam haba, when it comes to olam haba, which is the second level, so Yemos Mashiach. Then olam haba, whatever that means. It's going to be that there's no one's going to see anything at you. It's going to be beyond all imagination. So Shmuel says that this whole pasuk of Lo Yisagoy Al Goy Charev, that probably talks about Yemos HaMashiach. That talks about Yemos HaMashiach, but that only talks about Olam Haba. But Yemos HaMashiach, there will still be battle. There could still be war, and if there's still going to be war, then our Brisa argues on him, because then they would still be considered ornamental. Just because they're going to go in the future, they're still going to be ornamental. So I guess maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds like Shmuel, and Tanakama holds like, and Rabbi Chiya Barabba holds like the Tanakama. But Ika de Amri, and some learn it this way, Amru Lola Rabbi Eliezer, that the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, "V'kimei achar de tachshitin heim lo b'nei ma heim betolim os Mashiach." So he says, they said to Rabbi Eliezer, if in the future these weapons are, if these are really ornamental, these are tachshitim, they're jewelry, so why are they going to become eliminated in the times of Mashiach? Amar lahem, alfi mos Mashiach heim betolim. He says, no, they will not become batel in the mos Mashiach. And then that Brisa is Hayna de Shmuel. And then it supports Shmuel, because Shmuel says that there, in the times of Mashiach, there won't be any changes in the natural order. The only difference is going to be Sheba and Malchus. So therefore, the Tachshitin and the ornament, then maybe there will be battle. Maybe not in Eretz Yisrael, whatever, there will be battle. And then Upliga de Rabbi Bachaba, and then that Brisa would then disagree with Chiyav Rabba, who holds that all the Nevuos of Lo Yisagoya Goy Charev refers to Yemos Mashiach. And according to the way that the Brisa is learning now, there, Rabbi Lezer is saying that there will be. Even Moshe Mashiach will still be battles. I guess he will say that only in Olam Haba there won't be battle. So the Amar Le Abaye Rav Dimi. So Abaye now quotes, so says to Rav Dimi, Va'amar Le Rav Avya, and some say Abaye said to Rav Avya, Va'amar Le Rav Yosef to Rav Dimi, and some say that Rav Yosef said to Rav Dimi, Va'amar Le Rav Avya to Rav Avya, and some say Rav Avya, sorry, Va'amar Le Rav Avya, and some say Rav Yosef said it to Rav Avya, Va'amar Le Abaye to Rav Yosef, and some say that Rav Abaye said to Rav Yosef, My time of Rabbi Lezer, the Amr Tachshitin Hein Lo. What is the reason Rabbi Lezer, who said that these weapons are considered Tachshitin, because they're jewelry to him? He says, Diksiv, because the Pasuk says, right, where is this Pasuk? The Pasuk is in Tehillim. Tehillim Mem Hey. Right, Pasuk says, Chagor Charbicha Al Yarech Gibor Hodcha V'Adercha. Right, this is talking about the king. It says, put your sword on your thigh, your strong one, because that's your glory, right? That is your Hodcha V'Adercha. So you see that it is putting the sword on is considered beautiful. It is considered ornamental. So Amalei Rav Kahana le Mar Bereid Rav Huna. Rav Kahana says to Mar Bereid Rav Huna, how can you say that? Ha b'divrei Torah k'siv. This is talking about divrei Torah. That's what it's regarding. The way the pasuk is only being used as a metaphor to discussing Torah. It's not to be taken literally. So Amalei. So Mar Bereid Rav Huna says back to Rav Kahana, Ein lechanami, that might be the Jerusha, but Ein mikra yotzim de pshuta. A pasuk still doesn't depart, doesn't leave its plain meaning. It's pashut. You know, even if you have a drash on it, doesn't mean that you kick away the literal meaning. It still has its literal meaning, and it has to be learned that way as well. So the literal meaning here is that the sword is considered something beautiful to the king. So therefore, Lezer holds it is ornamental. If it is ornamental, then you're not going to be chayav l'chatas if you walk outside with it on Shabbos. I mean, this sugya is very relevant. We're not finished with it, but let's just finish it. But it's very relevant to the idea of guns, walking around with guns on Shabbos without an Erev, in a place that does not have an Erev. So Amar of Kahana, Kahavina bar timse sronim vavi gemirle lekula. Rav Kahana said, when I was 18 years old already, I learned the entire, it says lekul kule, it says shas, it should probably be Talmud. I learned the entire Talmud, I guess he was 18, it's an art school biography. By 18, he had learned the entire Gemara. I guess he didn't learn everything, because until that moment in time, he had no idea that you have to maintain the literal meaning of a pasuk. So what's Rav Kahana teaching us? The ligmar inish v'hadalispar, that a person can learn and then get the reason afterwards. In other words, when he first learning till he was 18, he was learning all the information. He learned some svarim, some reasons behind it later. You know, you can do some bakiyas first and then get the reasonings later. So he learned all the information first, and now he understands later that even so they had all the information, there are some svarim behind it. The svarim behind it is that even mikra is not yotze midei pshuto. Right, so I mentioned before, this has to do a lot with the idea of if you're not in an Eruv, right, if you're not in an Eruv, can one carry, you know, the gun? More to do with, you know, Israeli army or in places in Brooklyn or Manhattan. I mean, it depends. You have to ask your posek. Obviously, if it's a shasakana, however we define shasakana, that might be different. But this is one of the if it's not considered jewelry, and it's not considered ornamental, and it's not considered clothing, then it's considered a burden. And once it's considered a burden, sorry, Dick? But muktzah won't make you chayv achatas, though. Right. No, I don't know about that. But I'm saying besides, if it may not be muktzah, it has the purpose to defend. It may have some purpose or set aside to use, but are you carrying it? You have to get over both humps, I guess. I mean, in a town where there's an Eruv, it's much less of a difficult issue. In other places, if there's no Eruv, then you have to overcome the Hotzah issue, with the Doraisa issue, and then, Once you define it, and if you do, once Shasakana, you know, after Poway and after Pittsburgh, it might be a little easier to define it as a Shasakana. Again, I'll leave that to the postgame. But this is the sugya where it's discussed. Okay. Now the Gemara says Simon Zarus. Okay, the Simon here is Zarus. I'm not sure how it works. Actually, the article has a note in it. What's the Simon here? So now the Gemara discuss. Amar much of a Gadata to look for about an Amud. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yirmiyah said the name of Elazar. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Hamichadadin Zezeb Halacha. So when I have two Talmidei Chachamim who mechaded, seems to mean to be sharpened, to sharpen each other in learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masliach Lehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them, makes them successful. Shnei Amar, the Pasuk says, this is in Tehillim Mem Hey, or maybe that's why, because it's the next Pasuk after the words that we just said, Chagor Chabrachal Yerok Ibor Hod Chavadercha. So the next Pasuk says, the Hadarcha Tzlach, right? Hadarcha is Hod, Hadar, your beauty, your splendor will succeed. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Bahadarcha, don't say it means your splendor, read it the Chadidcha, which means your sharpening. So people who sharpen are going to be hatzlacha. They're going to be successful. Those who sharpen each other and learn to be successful. Below od elisha ol megadula. Not only that, but they rise to high positions, positions of influence. Shenemar tzlach rechav. In the same pasuk, it says tzlach. If you're successful, then rechav. Then you ride on like the chariots, the royal chariots. Yochel afilu shelo lishma. You might think that you'll get the success even if you learn shelo lishma. You learn for other motives other than l'shem. Learning, Talmud Lomar Aldvar Emes. Therefore, it says that the pasuk says Aldvar Emes. You have to be learning for the purpose of seeking out Emes of truth. Yachal im Higis Daito. You might think that you get this bracha even if you come about Gaiva Higis, right? Gasas Ruach, arrogant. Talmud Lomar the Anvot Sedek. So therefore, it says the pasuk Anvot Sedek, Anava righteousness. I guess so. You have to be an Anav. Vim Osim Kane, and if you do this, if you study humbly and you do it for the right reasons, then Zochin the Torah Shinitna B'yamin, then you'll be Zochin to get the Torah which was given in the right hand. How do you know it's given in the right hand? Because the Pasuk says, V'torcha Nora Os Yamincha. I guess your right hand, amazing things will teach, right? Nora Os V'torcha will teach, so it's the right hand. So I guess there's something about the right hand. That's better than the left hand. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "What does it mean? Zochin ledvarim shenemru biyamina shel Torah. If the two Talmidei Chachamim are mechadadim, they sharpen each other by learning. They're zochin to receive the things that were given, that were said with the right hand of the Torah. I'm not sure what that means. The Amar Rava Barav Rav, I'm sorry, the Amar Rava Barav Shilav, Amar La Amar Rav Yosef Archama, Amar Rav Sheshes." My diksiv orich yamin b'yamina smola osher kavod. What does it mean that it says that orich yamin b'yamina, long days are in its right hand, and in the left hand you have wealth and honor, right? Osher kavod. So the Gemara says ele b'yamina orich v'yamin ika osher kavod leka. Does it really mean to say that in your right hand, if the right hand of the Torah only has length, long days, but it does not, it lacks, I guess, Osher and Kavod, it doesn't have honor and wealth. That can't be. Elam Yamaminim Ba. What the Pasuk means is those who deal with Torah, I guess, right handedly. Rashi says that Yamina is, where is that? Lim Yamin, Shel Torah, Shemifashbashin, Tameya Bidiktuk, Uborin, Kinyamin, Hamiyamunus Lumalacha. They try to get to the depth and the truth of the Torah, like someone does doing work with their right hand. Apparently, dealing with a righty, who's better to do work with their right hand? So that would mean it says right. So elim yamin ba orach yamin ika. They get long days. The kol shekain osher v'kavod, and they achas kama kama. They also get honor and wealth. But the masmi ilim ba. But those who deal with her left handedly, Rashi says left handedly she ein yagim ba kol tzarchon. They are not. They don't do it with all their efforts. They do it haphazardly, right? Then osher recovered ika. Then there's wealth and honor, but orach yamin leka. But you don't get long days. Amar of Yirmiyah, right? Anyone has any questions? I don't know. Amar of Yirmiyah, Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, right? Rav Yirmiyah said the name of Shimon ben Lakish. Shnei talmidei chachamim hanochim zelazeg halacha. So when you have two talmid chacham, nochim means that they're nice to each other, right? Nachas ruach, when they're pleasant to each other while they're learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv lehen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then listens to them. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, right, the Pasuk says, it says Malachi, as nidbaru yirei Hashem. So what's the full Pasuk? As nidbaru yirei Hashem, ish el re'eyu, right, when they speak, the yirei Hashem speak to each other, then it says, which is a poor part of what we're saying, it says, vayakshev Hashem, vayishma, that Hashem will listen and hear them, vayikasev sef hazikaro lefanav, they'll write in a memorial book, liyirei Hashem lechosh reishimo. So missing the most important part is that when you have these as nidbaru yirei Hashem, they speak to each other, the end of the pasuk continues, then vayakshev Hashem, Hashem will listen to them. And ein divor, and how do we know that nidbaru means that they're speaking softly? He says they're speaking nicely to each other. Ein divor el nachas, divor means nachas, because the pasuk says, it means softly. So the pasuk says, shenemar yadber amim tachtenu. He's that pasuk, that's, I don't know, that pasuk also went to Tehillim. The full pasuk is, yadber amim tachtenu ulumim tachas raglenu. He will place the nations under us, but in the translation it means that they'll make them humble. So humble means soft and sweet. So daber means soft and sweet. So two talmid chachamim are speaking to each other nachas, softly and sweetly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to him. Now the Gemara says, close to the end of that pasuk, right? The end of the pasuk we said was, right? The pasuk says, right? As nidbaru yirei Hashem ish al re'eyu v'yakshev v'yishma v'yikasev sefer zikron l'fnei Hashem u'lechosh v'yishmo. So what's chosh v'yishmo? Those who think about his name. Amar of Ami, afilu chishev lasos mitzvah nenos v'lo asa. Even if you had intent, if you had the thought, right? You had good intent to do a mitzvah, but something happened. It was an ones that happened, and it prevented you from doing that mitzvah. Ma'alav akasa kilu asa. So the Torah regards it as if you had actually performed it. What does it mean? That you actually performed it? I don't think it means that you actually did it. It means that you don't have to worry about the fact that you didn't do it. If I wanted to give tzedakah, and then an ones came to yado, and I didn't give the tzedakah. I didn't give the tzedakah. Get schar as if you did, but it's not like you actually did the mitzvah. But and if, it just means that you get the schar as if you did. Amar Rav Chanina bar Idi. Rav Chanina bar Idi says, "Kol ha'osem mitzvah kima amara. Anyone who performs a mitzvah, I guess the way it's supposed to be done, like kima amara, ain mivasrin oso besuras roast. They'll never tell him about bad things. Shneamar the pasuk says, "Shomer mitzvah lo yeda dvara." Someone who guards the mitzvah will not know any bad things. Amr of Asi, Vitim of Chanin, Rav Asi, and some say of Chanin said, I feel the Kaddish Baruch Hu goes there, Gzeira. Even if Kaddish Baruch Hu had already made a decree that you'll get an onish, nevertheless, whom mevatla. If one performs a mitzvah according to the way it's supposed to be done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mevatel, he'll nullify or cancel that decree. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, this is in, I think, Koheles. Shenemar, Kasher, Devar, Melech, Shulton, Miyo Marlo Matase. So I just give the translation I have here. For the word of the king has authority, and who can say to him, what are you doing? Right? And the Samichle, and then the Pasuk afterwards says, Shomer mitzvah lo yede dvara. But next to the Pasuk, it says, one who keeps the mitzvos will not know even things, that he's not going to suffer harsh decrees, even the decrees that the king did in the previous Pasuk. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Shnei talmid chachamim makshivim zel lazeh b'halacha. So when two talmid chachamim, they listen to each other. They don't just drown each other out. They actually listen to each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomei l'kolam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears their voice. And it's funny. These are all the names of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is Chavrusa, is Rabbi Yochanan. So maybe he's trying to he had pretty good chavrus over there. So he's talking about shnei talmid chachamim. That maybe he's talking about how they learned, so everyone can know what the right way to do it. Right. So shnei talmid chachamim makshivim zel zeh balacha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shomei lekolan. Hakadosh Baruch Hu listens to them. Shneamar hayoshevas baganim chaverim makshivim lekolei hashmiini. Right. Hayoshevas baganim. You who sit in the garden. Right. Chaverim makshivim. I guess you listen to the friends. Right. Lekolei hashmiini. And I guess let me hear your voice. Vim ain't osim kain, but if they don't, I guess if they don't listen to each other's voice, when they just always at each other, then gormim l'shchina shemistalekes min Yisrael. Then they cause the shchina to leave Yisrael, because it says in the next pasuk, berach dodi udmel tzvi, right, all over Yolim, right, that my beloved is going to run away like a deer or like a gazelle. So therefore, you have to speak to each other. B'tamid chavim, speak to each other. Should be a nachas ruach between each other. There shouldn't be animosity. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Shnei Tamid Chachamim Hamadgilim Zelazeh. Right, Madgilim seems to mean like a dega, which is a flag, but you gather around a flag. It's something. A flag is like a symbol where people, nations, and people gather under. So Madgilim here means that they gather to each other. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. Hakadosh Baruch Hu loves them. Shnei Amar. The pasuk says V'diglo Alay Ava. Right, and it says, I guess my banner is love. Amar Rava V'hudi Yodei Source of the Shmita. This only, I guess, applies. So what's going on here? One second. All right, Hamagilim. Madgilim, Filka Rashi says it's specifically Ma'asvin Ze'edze. They gather together with each other. Va'omrin Ba'anu Amad. Let's go learn together. V'navin ben Shneinu. And we'll figure everything out by ourselves. Ho v'ein lanu Rav Lamdeinu. Because we don't have a Rebbe. So let's do it ourselves because we don't have a Rebbe to teach us. So Rava says, because the qualifier says, this only applies the yodet source of the shmaisa. I guess if they know the fundamentals, right? They know enough, the bare minimum of the topic, that they can actually make sense out of it. If they know nothing, then it's going to be pointless. And also that they don't have a teacher in the city from whom they can learn. And if they once had a teacher, but if the teacher is no longer available, then they can do it. But if they only know the rudimentary facts, it's better for them to go and learn with a teacher. Okay. Amar of Abba, Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, Gadol Hamalve Yosim and Oset Staka. It's better to be someone who loans money, a lender, than one who just gives charity. I guess because someone's more embarrassed from getting straight up charity, a loan is something that they feel they can pay back. It's not as embarrassing. Umatil Bakis Yosim Mikulan. And put something in their pocket is better. What is a matil bakis? I think a matil bakis is to invest in them. Rashi says, Umatil Bakis. If you invest in them in a business with them, so you make them partner, you give them work, right? That's even better. If you invest in them, that's an even better level. Amar of Abba, Amar of Rav Shimon ben Lakish, im tamid chacham nokein v'noter kinachashu. So if you have a tamid chacham who doesn't have the best midos, he's a nokein. He takes nekama. He takes revenge. He's a noter. He has a grudge like a snake. Nevertheless, you should put him close to your body. Meaning, he says here, even if he's not the best of character, if he's a big Talmid Chacham, you should still go learn by him because you can get from him. Vim Amar Aretz Hu Chassid. But if you have an Amar Aretz who's even though he's a Chassid, Al Tador B'Shkunaso, then you shouldn't even live in his neighborhood because since he doesn't know anything about the mitzvot, Rashi says. If he doesn't know all the mitzvahs, then he's not really such a chassid, and you're going to learn from him. This goes, other Gemaras say that your Rebbe should be like a Malach Yashares, and I mean, so this seems to go against other Gemaras, which indicate that the person who you're learning from should have appropriate and you know, full midos, and not be one who exacts revenge, or one who keeps a grudge. Okay. More. Amar Rabbi Kahana, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Amar la Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Amar la Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Kol hamigadel kelev ra b'soch beso. Whoever keeps a bad or an evil dog in his house, monei chesed mitoch beso. He prevents chesed from taking place in his house, maybe because the Daniel won't come to the door because they're afraid of the dog, so he won't be able to give tzedaka. Shnei Amar, because the pasuk says. Lamas mireyu chesed. So, lamas. Somehow they're saying lamas means a dog. Lamas mireyu chesed. It keeps away chesed. And it says belashon. Turn to Amabe is belashon Yevanis korim lekelev lamas. Because in Greek, a dog is called a lamas. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Af Porik Meno Yerushamayim. If you have the dog, the also removes from you Yerushamayim. Shnei Amar. The pasuk continues there. V'Yerushakai Azov. It says another pasuk that you leave the fear of Hashem. I thought maybe because if you have a guard dog, so you're going to put all your faith in the fact that the dog is going to protect you. I'm not sure why it leaves you to lose Yerus Hashem. So the Gemara just gives a story. So there's a certain woman who went into a person's house lemefa to bake, and navach bakalba, and the owner of the house's dog barked at her. It's akir vlada, and I guess she lost the baby. She must have been pregnant. So Amale Mari de Besa, the owner of the house, said to her, "Lo tid kali, don't be afraid, right? The shekel nidli v'shikun tufrei, because I've already taken out the dog's teeth, right? He has no teeth, and its claws, it's all been taken away." Hold on a second. Okay, the computer's set up over there. Don't worry. School is starting, so hold on one second. Yeah, it's set up over there. You see it? Okay. Apologies. Okay. So he says, he says, don't be afraid. The shakal nivei, the shikal too afraid. I took out the dog's teeth and I took out the dog's claws. Amalei, shkul tu v'teich v'shadech zirei. He says, take your good tidings and your words and throw it behind you. Kfar nad v'lad. You know, the baby has already been moved. Then it's too little, too late for telling me now. I was scared before. Telling me now doesn't make a difference. I don't know what the point of the story is. I'll have to tell you that maybe keeping a bad dog in your house keeps away chesed. This woman came in to bake, and he was unable to, he wanted to do something good for her. In the end, he did something bad. Okay, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Ma'idik Siv, what does the pasuk mean that says, okay, he's supposed to get to Kohelis, Smach b'chor b'yadusecha, v'tivcha libcha b'mei b'churusecha, v'aleich b'darche libeich, umare'e enecha, basically means, I'll just read the translation, article translation, rejoice, young man, in your childhood, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and go in the ways of your heart, and after the sight of your eyes, which means do whatever you want when you're young, make sure do what you want. But you should know that for all these things, God will bring to you to judgment. Rav Huna says as follows, Ad kan divrei Yetzirah. Up to the word umare enecha is the words of the Yetzirah, telling the person, when you're young, you have the strength, you can go do things, go do what you want, go enjoy yourselves, but mikam the elach, but then he says, v'da, you should know, that is Yetzer Tov, telling you, if you do that, you should know that you'll Hashem will bring you to judgment. Reish Lakish Amar Ad Kan Divrei Torah, mikam the elach ha-maisim tovim. He says, the beginning of the pasuk is talking about Divrei Torah, and the end of the pasuk is talking about maisim tovim. What does that mean? Until the words... You should learn and keep on learning and learn as much as you can. But v'da, you should know that if all your learning doesn't bring you to Maisim Tovim, then you're gonna get punished on that. You can't just learn as an intellectual only, you know, to stay in the ivory tower. Your learning has to be transferred into your personality, then you become Maisim Tovim. Okay. So now the Gemara goes back into our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Biris Tahora. The biris, which we translate as a garter, it's tahor, meaning it cannot become susceptible to tuma. The biris is tahora. So Amar Rav Yehuda, what does Rav Yehuda says? Biris zo etzada. The biris is a band. It's right. That's what he says. It's a It says shel zeroa, an armband, something that's worn around the arm. So Masi Rav Yosef asks, how can you say that the bris is an etzadam? Rav Yosef, bris tahora, v'yotziv v'shabbos. Our Mishnah says that the bris is not susceptible to tuma. V'ilu etzadah tumehi. But we know that the etzadah, which is what you translate the bris as, the etzadah is susceptible to tuma. How do we know that? Rashi says, v'ilu etzadah tumehi. Rashi says, diksiv, I told this argument, Rashi says, diksiv, this is by Midjan, it's siksiv v'maisa Midjan, the etzadah utzimid, talk about different things that they got from the war, the etzadah utzimid, uksiv tischateyu atem ushvichem. You were supposed to purify it. So that means it's something that does become tameh. So how can you tell me it's an armband? So Gemara says, "Hachi ka'amar." This is what he means: "Biris tachas etzada omedes." The bris is what you put on the leg, similar to what you put the etzada on the arm. Meaning, it's like a garter; it goes around. It grows around the leg, right? Rashi says, "Tachas etzada shebizroa." Tachas etzada shebizroa omeda bashok. You put it on the, again, machlokes the shok is whether it's the upper leg or the lower leg. To keep her, I guess her pantyhose up, keep something up, her stockings up, so they won't fall down. Therefore, hilchos tahora. Therefore, they're not susceptible to tumah. The lav lenoihi. They're not for any. The lav lenoihi. They're not for her. They're not an article of clothing to benefit her. The kli tashmish nami lo havi. They're not a kli tashmish. Ela kli hamishamish kli. What they are is they are a kli used for another kli. They're a kli used to keep the stockings up. So they're not for her, so therefore they're not considered a kli. It's too indirect, it's not considered a kli. And that's why they're not susceptible to tumah. Right? He says, dumya de tabaus hakelim, that means to the rings around the kli. So these things are not susceptible to tumah. So that's what it means. So now we have the bris means this sort of garter, I guess. This garter belt around that keeps her clothing from falling down. So therefore they are tahora. And yotzev oyde Shabbos, you can't go out with them on Shabbos because we're not concerned that she's going to take them off. Because in order to take them off, she has to lift her dress, lift her skirt, and she's not going to do that. She's not going to show that to people. Okay. Yosef Ravin v'Rav Huna kamed Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Huna and Ravin were sitting before Rav Yirmiyah. The Yosef Rav Yirmiyah cut the kamenam name. And Rav Yirmiyah was dozing off. The Yosef Rav happens a lot with Rav Yirmiyah that he's dozing off. And I don't figure to understand why the Gemara says that. I mean, I don't think they're trying to make fun of Rav Yirmiyah. Maybe it's just something that he just learned so often that he was, you know, he would just fall asleep. Even when he fell asleep, he knew what was going on, as we'll see. So it's Yosef Ravin Rav Huna, Kamed Rav Yirmiyah. The Yosef Rav Yirmiyah. That what? Better than what I have. Okay. Yosef Rabbi Rav Huna, so I guess menamim doesn't mean, it means maybe meditating as opposed to sleeping. Okay, so the Yosef Rabbi Kamar, so Rabbi gets up and he says, Biris achas v'kabalim shnayim. The bris, which we just defined as the garter around the leg, that means that, and that is that it's not makabal tumah and you may go out with it on Shabbos. That's talking about one. But kibalim, which our Mishnah said the opposite, which it is makabal tumah and you may not go out with it on Shabbos, that's shtayim. That's two. What does that mean? One or two? So Amrali Rav Huna, Rav Huna says to him, it doesn't make any sense. Elu ve'elu b'shtayim. Both of them are two. But what's the kabbalin? Matilim shal shelas b'neihem b'nasu kabbalim. So what it is that the beris is the garter on either side, on either leg, and the kabbalin are when you put a chain between them, you attach them, like a cable. Kabbalin sounds like a cable. You put this cable, this chain in between the two of them. So the cable is mekabal tumah, but you may not walk out with it on Shabbos, right? So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Why is the shalshelas the mekabel tumah? The shalshelas shabo mashli mana, because you have this cable. I don't know how it works exactly, but you have this cable in between. It's almost like, you know, you think of the prisoners that are walking with those leg chains, right? So you have the chain in between. That becomes a kli. Why? How's that a kli for the person now? Why is that mekabel tumah? Right, so the chitim, maybe you say that it's a kli because kidder Rav Shimon bar Nachmeni, like Rav Shimon bar Nachmeni once said, Rav Shimon bar Nachmeni, Rav Yochanan, minayim mashmiya kol b'kli matacho shehutameh. How do you know that if you have a kli that can make a noise, right? Like we had before that bell, that it had the thing that came out of it, it make a noise, it's tameh. How do you know that it's still considered tameh? Because even though it doesn't serve any purpose, it can serve the purpose to making noise. You can bang it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, kol davar sheyavo be'esh. Right, as pasuk again by Midjan, it says any davar, which we translate as dibor, which I think can make a sound. So yevov eish taviru beish with the hair has to become tahor. The Gemara says if I feel a dibor mashma, even something just is there only purpose to make noise. So maybe these kabbalim also these chains make noise, and that's why they're considered a kli, and that's why they're mekabel tumah. He says there's a big difference. Bishma hasam over there, it makes sense when you're talking about a patmo, when you're talking about a bell, the ba'ulahu lekala, because initially it was made to make a noise, the oven maisa, and she's still making a noise. Something happened to it that it couldn't do exactly its purpose, but now if you can bang it, it still can make a noise. But hacha, my masik oven. But what tashmish does a person does it have here? What's the purpose? It wasn't made for making noise. What's the purpose of this? Why is it makabal tumah? So Gemara says, no, hacha namik oven maisa. This too also has a purpose. What's the purpose? This seems strange. Damar Rabbi Bar Chana Amar Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chana said Rav Yochanan, Mishpa Achas Haisav Yushalayim. There was this one family Yushalayim, Shahaisa Pisoa Sehim Gazos, Kasos. They used to, for whatever reason, take these very, very long, long strides. V'hayu Bisulehim Nosos. And because of those long strides, it would cause the Bisulos of their women to fall out. And therefore they would have issues, I guess, getting married. Okay, so Asulhem Kibalim, so they made the Kibalim, which is sort of like a brace, right? They made these Kibalim, they tilu shalshelos beinehem, and they made a chain between them, shaloyu pisoseim gasos. They would try to make them walk you know, with shorter strides, not so they won't injure themselves. V'lo hayu b'sulim nosho, so their b'sulis won't come out. So I guess for these people, these kabbalim served an actual purpose as a kli, and that's why they are mekabel tumah. So all of a sudden, is arbu Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya, I guess, broke his trance, and amar lehu yasher. He says, ah, you're right. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says, that these kabbalim, it's correct, the reason why they are mekabel tumah is because they serve a purpose, but you may not walk out with them on Shabbos, I guess, because since they're like on their chains, maybe it's easy to take off, and it's something that you can remove on Shabbos, and you're afraid then you'll move Dalai Lama Swiss Rabin. Ki Aser Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, right, when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Rav Dimi was one of the people who went back and forth, so he says, Amar Rav Yochanan, he brought memorials from Eretz Yisrael, so he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Minayim le'arig kol shehu shehu tamei. How do we know that the smallest amount of something that's woven is mekabel tumah? So we have mentioned in the past that in order for an item to be mekabel tumah, it has to be at minimum 3x3 etzbos. So that's talking about a cloth that was once bigger and then it's going to cut down. If it gets down to the smallest shear, it's still mekabel tumah. But if you have something that you are rigged, that you sew initially, how do you know if something that you sew initially can be mekabel tumah even the smallest amount? He says, we learned it out from the tzitz. We learn about the tzitz that went on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol because it was very small. I mean, it was long, but it didn't have any width to it. It was very thin. And nevertheless, right, it's the tzitz, and it's considered a malbush. Right, it's one of the 8 articles of clothing that the Kohen Gadol wore. So, if it's considered a malbush, it's considered something that's significant. So, to anything else that's sewn, it's considered significant. So, Amalei Abayi, right? Amalei Abayi, how are you learning after the tzitz? They're two completely different items. Amalei Abayi, tzitz arigu, is the tzitz something that's woven? The Hatanya tzitz kimin tashal zahav. The tzitz was like this golden plate. The rochav shtei etzbos, and it's 2 finger breadths wide. Umukaf me ozen, and it wrapped around the forehead from one ear to the other ear. The kasuv Allah, and it was written on it in 2 lines. Right, it said, you know, kadosh l'Hashem. So it said yudke vavke on top. The kodesh lamed lamata. So it said Hashem on top, yudke vavke, and kodesh Hashem underneath. Machlokas. If you look in the Masifti, has like 4 or 5 pictures how machlokas how it works. But the whole point here is that it's a golden metallic plate. It's not anything that's sewn or woven together. How can you learn that an arig, something that's woven, can be mekabel tumah just like it sits? So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Eliezer, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, no, ani ra'isi b'iromi, on my trip to Rome, which is, I think, the Gemara in, right, Me'ila, he went to Rome, I saw on my trip to Rome, because of Kadosh L'Hashem b'shita achas, I saw that it said Kadosh L'Hashem in one row, which is so interesting. 2 things. Number one, he went to Rome. Number two, the Romans had the tzitz. Number three, he saw the tzitz, and the way he saw the tzitz, but they didn't agree with him. Even though he had an eyewitness account, they said, no, it's on 2 lines. He said, no, I saw it on 1 line, but they didn't agree with him. No one said that's fascinating too. Okay. So now we have the problem is that we have Rav Dimi who said that you learned that the woven item could be mekabel tumah even a minimal amount from the tzitz. We just proved that's impossible. So kisalik Rav Dimi l'Narda. So when Rav Dimi went to Narda, shalach lehu, he sent to them dvarim she'amarti lechem tos heim biyadai. I made a mistake. I was wrong. I mean, I take anything with daf. That's the musr. Big time lechachem. I was wrong. I made a mistake. Baram, however, kach amru mishum Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan said. Minayin letachshit kol shehu shutame. How do we know that if you have a piece of jewelry, even the smallest piece of jewelry, that it's mekabel tumah? 2 pieces of jewelry is made out of metal. How do we know it's mekabel tumah? That you learn from the tzitz. Right? You learn that from the tzitz because the tzitz is a small piece of metal. It's not, doesn't have the shear. Nevertheless, it's considered a beged, so that's considered something that is significant. Uminayin la'ari kol shehu shutame. But how do I know that a woven item, minimally sewn, is considered tameh? He says, because it says by the pasuk constructs him, it says the word o beged. So beged means big, o is extra, o must teach you something that's woven. Again, I don't know how that do that, but that's what it means. O beged comes to teach you that even something that's sewn, as if it's sewn then it's still small, nevertheless, it can be a kalatuma. Tanarabanan. Let's get to a couple more lines. Tanarabanan. Ori kol shu tameh, something that's woven, a minimal amount, that's tameh. V'tachshik kol shehu tamei, and even the smallest jewelry, piece of jewelry is also tamei. Arig v'tachshik kol shehu, you have a combination of a small tachshit and a small woven item, they're also tamei. I don't know why you need that. If arig kol shehu is tamei, and a tachshik kol shehu is tamei, so if you put them together, then they're bigger than a kol shehu, they should be tamei also. So I'm not sure what that comes to teach us, right? Mosaf, and he can teach another thing, Mosaf sak al beged, shetamei mishum arig. I don't know what this means. That I'm not exactly sure. Musaf sak al beged shatame mishum arig. Oh, okay. So we'll get to this tomorrow. So Menachem will explain to you what this means a little later. I think Menachem knows it already. But this is what this will be at the end of tomorrow's daf. Amar Rava. Rava says arig kol shu tame. How do we know that a woven item, minimal amount, small amount, is tame? It's may o beged. You learn from the word o when it talks about beged. And Takshikol Shu Tami, how do we know that Takshikol Shu is Tami? You learn that from the words tzitz, from tzitz. So, Arig Vit Takshikol Shu Tami, where do you learn that from? From Kol Kli Maisa. If you have a combination of a very, very small woven item and a very, very, very small Takshit, how do you know that's susceptible to Tumah? From the words Kol Kli Maisa. Kol, I guess, includes everything. All right, so Amar Luhu Ahumei Rabbanan, one of the Chachamim said to Rava, Hahu B'midjan Ksiv. Wait a second. How can the word Kol Kli Maisa that you learn this out from, is a pasuk that's taken from the story of Midjan. The tumah that was in Midjan was tumah's mace. So how can you learn from there to the other tumah, like tumah sharetz? So Amarlei, he says, no, there's a gzeri shava, kli kli mehasam. By shratzim it says the word kli, by Midjan it says the word kli, therefore I can learn from Midjan to shratzim and say, just like it's tumah, it can become tumah in the case of Midjan, which is mace, it can be tumah in the case of shratzim, which is in all other tumah cases. Okay, again, I'm not sure why this little piece came in at the end, but we'll stop here, and we'll pick up, Menachem said, 3 o'clock today, we'll do tomorrow's daf. Yeah.